This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey everyone, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is a great way to jump online and build any kind of website you want. Portfolios, e-commerce, restaurants, whatever it is you need, Squarespace has got it. And they're going to give it to you for 10% off if you go to squarespace.com and enter the promo code TALKING for your next Squarespace order. So remember, squarespace.com, promo code TALKING for 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
This episode of Black Girls Talking is brought to you by Smile Direct Club. Smile Direct Club uses proprietary cutting-edge technology to help avoid the inconvenience and cost of office visits to your dentist or orthodontist, which can help cut costs up to 70%. Smile Direct Club aligners cost a single payment of $1,500, or you can take advantage of their easy payment plan of only $250 down and $99 a month for 15 months. No credit check required. There is a $95 risk-free evaluation to see if you qualify for Smile Direct Club. And if you don't qualify, you get your money back. Listeners to Black Girls Talking are being offered 50% off this evaluation cost. Visit smiledirectclub.com/talking to save on this offer today if you, your children ages 12 and up, or anyone you know is interested in straightening their smile. Smile Direct Club is also an easy solution for people who had braces but failed to wear their retainers and their teeth shifted back. Board-certified, state-licensed dentists and orthodontists within the Smile Direct Club network are involved throughout the process to assess and prescribe remote treatment. Treatment time averages 5 months, but ranges from 3 to 10 months. I am one of those people who failed to wear my retainers and my teeth shifted back, so I'm really excited to receive my evaluation kit from Smile Direct Club. I haven't actually received it yet, but so far the process has been super, super easy. All I had to do was take pictures of my teeth or have a friend take pictures of my teeth, send them to Smile Direct Club, and so they're preparing the evaluation kit. I'll get it back, take molds, I think, of my teeth, send them back, and that's how the process started. So I'm really, really excited for it, and I'm excited for you to try it for 50% off. Again, visit smiledirectclub.com/talking to save 50% off your evaluation costs. That's smiledirectclub.com/talking.
This is Alicia. It's been a while since you've all heard from me, but I am back and I have some guests. Two you'll recognize from the Beyonce roundtable that happened, I don't know, a couple months ago. And we have two new voices. So everyone go ahead and introduce yourselves, just, you know, in the order in which you see your name here.
Hi, I'm Sophie.
Hi, I'm Julia.
And I'm Adrian. Hi.
I'm Janelle, actually from Atlanta.
Is there anything else you want to add, Janelle?
Or Shiloh.
Oh, wow. If you haven't been able, if you weren't able to tell by the theme music, this is the episode that's good. We're talking about Atlanta. Which is why Janelle's back. And we all have the giggles right now because we just found out, thanks to Lipstick Alley, that Donald Glover is now a father.
The one let Donald Glover raw dog them. That's crazy. That's crazy. You let a man who walks out the house with ashy knees raw you.
And ankles.
I thought that was a good outfit.
No, what's his name? Let Jay Electronica impregnate her. I'm saying you could learn some lessons.
I don't know why we dragged Erica Badu into this.
First of all, I think
Jay Electronica has like one bar. At least one. How many does Donald Glover have? That's what I thought.
It's about to be a messy ass episode.
Hey, I love it.
So, okay, I need to, like, gavel, like, order in the court. All right, so, That was like a curveball. We were like totally normal before we found out this news. Anyway, so we're here to talk about Atlanta, and actually I have, it's Tuesday night when we're recording this, and a new episode aired tonight, which I haven't seen, but so far we've seen, what is it, 6 episodes?
Yeah, 6.
I'm not sure how many are in the season. I'm gonna Google that right now. So there's 10 episodes, tonight's the 7th one aired, okay. Which I haven't watched, none of us have watched, right?
No, all right. I haven't watched it yet.
Alright, so I think I asked all of you to who's moving a lot? I think that's Adrian. You gotta stop moving.
Sorry. I'm really right. Cold. My parents hate putting on the heat.
Your Jamaican father can't handle the cold.
He wears like long johns and sweatpants and a hoodie inside because he hates turning on the heat. I'm like, Dad, it's... You put the heat on. It's getting really cold. This is Massachusetts, and I can't argue with my black dad about the heat. What can I say? The way the world works.
So yeah, I think we all have been talking about this, like, on social media and just to ourselves, or amongst ourselves, about how good the show was and how it's surprisingly a good show. Like, I think I think when I first heard about it, I was excited just because even though Donald Glover has a history of fuckboydom, I was like, oh, he is a pretty creative guy, even if he doesn't really know how to channel that creativity sometimes. And then it came on, I was like, oh my god, this is a good show. And yeah. I think it's a good show because the whole writer's room is black. And I think what, a year or two ago, like, Donald Glover had that, like, breakdown where he was, like, writing down, like, all, he was, like, you know, in a Motel 6, and he had, like, a stack of napkins, and he was just writing down all the trials and tribulations on napkins, and I was like,
his scumbag sense was tingling.
I was like, something's happening here.
Still Rod, a way passing woman, but go on.
Oh, you guys are going to have to, like, introduce yourselves when you start talking, since we all kind of sound alike, or people may get confused. But, yeah, so, I, like, 2 years ago, I was like, let me see, it's broken. This could be a good thing. And now we have the show, and the show is really good. Like, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess my first question is, like, how surprised are all of you that the show is really good?
I'm Janelle, and I'm really pleasantly surprised with how not only good it is, but how kind of like it feels like Atlanta, and it feels true to Atlanta. But not only that, it feels true to like black life in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't really seen anyone, like, I haven't seen anyone complaining at all about the portrayal of Atlanta and how, like, even like all of the characters feel like people they could just, you know, like, that live next door. I have been, you know, I'm always, like, on Twitter, like, looking for some complaints, so I can join in. Like, are people complaining over here? Yeah, and everyone seems to really like it, like, who are from Atlanta. Anybody else have any opinions on, anybody else surprised that this is a really good show?
I'm surprised that Donald Glover does anything good, ever. He's just like this like runty little ashy motherfucker, and then like all of a sudden he comes out of nowhere and he does this thing that's just like black as hell, and he's like, surprise, I don't give a shit about white people except for this woman I got pregnant.
Which is fine,
I guess. I don't do you.
Partially something, okay, yeah, I can't even.
Well, because of Donald Glover, she is probably partially Asian.
Oh, yeah, Samantha.
No, I was just thinking back. Remember when he did Weirdo, the comedy? Oh, Julia here. Remember when he did the comedy special Weirdo? And he had that section where he was talking about how, like having white girls call him the N-word in bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, what the fuck? Yeah. For real?
No,
yeah, that was really bad.
You know, that, like,
I saw those links. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I think that that it's okay for him to have to wear the scarlet letter of being, to borrow from South Park, that nigga guy, no matter how well Atlanta does. I think that's fair.
I'm with you. I have openly thirsted for Donald Glover in a strange turn of events.
I started showering after the breakdown.
After the breakdown, I was like, oh, he's speaking directly to me. He became very attractive.
I forgot about the crumbled castle of a man.
He got a beard.
I just want to say, I'm also a broken man.
Well, he ditched the baby gap jeans. He ditched the cornrows with no hang time.
And the backpack.
And I was like, oh, he looks like a human now.
Oh God, the cornrows. I can't.
I'm still thinking of when he tried to hug Charlemagne looking like Pigpen from the Peanuts.
Imagine like Charlemagne of all people rejecting a hug from you. Charlemagne, who's like human scum.
Charlemagne is the human embodiment of can I get a hug?
Charlemagne is a sentient version of James Brown's dandruff that was given a career, and that man shied away from Donald Glover. I think you should have to hear that.
An episode of people who are meaner than Alicia.
I don't like looking at Charlemagne. I just don't. He's like a human Squidward. It's very uncomfortable for me.
Well, you need the rumor is that Charlemagne's been bleaching, so you should Google Charlemagne post bleach.
Hey, okay. I read that article that his dermatologist did with that black women's publication.
Oh, I remember that. I was like, I applaud you for taking this man's money.
Yeah.
Take it all. circling back. So yeah, so we're all just surprised that the show is actually really good. So what I want to do is I want to talk about what it is that makes the show good. And I think for me, it's just that it's fucking black as hell, and it's black in a way that we haven't really seen on TV. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of black shows on TV right now, which is weird. Like, I'm normally very apathetic about TV and films because I never see anyone who looks like me, and everyone's real fucking boring. And there's always these people who have very very bright skin, and it's like, all right. Mm-hmm. And this season, or this, I don't know, this TV go round, whatever you call it, we have a lot. I got very varied. Trails of black life. Mm-hmm. We have Being Mary Jane, which is coming back, which is one of my top five all favorite shows of all
time. I need
time.
To get back into that show. I fell
it's
off.
It's so good. I binged watched it in two weeks, all three seasons. It's so good. So we have that. Then we have How to Get Away with Murder, which is, it's there. We have Scandal. I love Viola, but it's we know what we get it. Mm-hmm. Scandal. I don't know if anyone's still watching Scandal.
I stopped. Was there another season after the one where they kidnapped and did a trade for her? Was that last season? Because that was the last thing I watched.
Last time I watched it, I think they shot someone. They shot. They shot one of the kids.
The kids. I'm not gonna watch it anyway. It's fine.
Yeah, I was all right, I get
Olivia
it.
Olivia moved in.
Wow.
There's been a lot.
Olivia was exposed as a side hoe, and then he made her the main hoe. And I was like, all right, well, I hope Carrie got a pay bump. And then we have Blackish, which is.
It employs that molester, Anthony Anderson.
Mm. Yes, no one ever talks about that, right? He's following in Bill Cosby's footsteps.
That Scarlet Letter. He's that molester.
It's ironic that he's been dubbed the new Bill Cosby because do a little Google, that may be true in more ways than one.
Yeah.
And then we have Empire, which is a show that's just as terrible, and I love it still.
It's a soap.
It's a novella.
Yeah.
Listen, we go because it's Taraji's job, and everybody else is basically there to support.
I feel like Lee Daniels has doubled down on alienating white people. he knows the show was ridiculous. according to his interviews, I really don't think he cares. He's just like, well, I'm on Fox. I'm going to keep getting these dollars. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep watching because I love Taraji. About it.
Fox is the same network that brought us... remember that dating show, that reality show where they had the fake Prince Harry? Remember that? He was like fake royalty, and they lied to the girls about it.
Unreal.
No.
Joe Millionaire or something? Like the fake guy who wasn't, really rich?
No, Joe Millionaire too, but this was another one.
Oh, right. Yeah, they did Joe Millionaire, which was like a plumber or something who was a millionaire. And then they did the other one where it's like, he's a prince.
Yeah.
Right?
So nobody could say anything about Lee Daniels' taste level on Fox. Like, nobody could put her network as a leg to stand on. Y'all brought the world married with children. Come on now.
This is true. They've been trash for a while.
Y'all are Family Guy. Like, you can't...
Wait, Power's Off, too. Okay, so those are, like, all the black shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I think... Oh, and there's Queen Sugar. You know, which I'm coming around on. I don't hate it. I'm coming around on it. I'm just not, like, a big, like, drama person. But it has Oprah, and it has Ava DuVernay, and it has very good-looking men, and it has Regina Wesley. So, like, everything is set up for me to love this show. I'm just, you know, I'm still getting into it. But, yeah, I think, like, Atlanta stands alone. Oh, there's Insecure also with Issa Rae on HBO. Mm-hmm. But it stands alone because it's, like, black in a way that's not really trying to, like, explain anything. I mean, Empire is black in that way, too. Empire is not... Empire is a novella, so it's like in a different lane, but I think Atlanta is just like really, really black in a way that doesn't really give a shit if you get it or not. And I think the only thing I can really compare it to like kind of drive home that point is how you can watch Blackish every week and like they literally teach lessons to white America. And it's so terrible. Like, it's always these, like, very, like, respect.
It's
like,
annoying.
Heavy-handed.
Where Drea's like, I came from the hood, but I made good. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is so terrible. Like, the only reason why I keep watching that show is because I love the character of Diane and the little girl who plays Diane.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
The little kids are so precious. That's, like, how they get you.
I wouldn't say plural.
That older brother, my god, I can't look at him.
Even like the twin brother, like the twin, Diana's twin, I'm like, I feel like he could have easily been like eaten in the womb, you know, like. <He's> terrible.
God.
That made me want to watch that show. I've never seen Blackish, but the thought of a girl child devouring her twin
immediately. Like, I just don't understand how that wasn't, like, part of the original script.
I've only seen,
if you compare and contrast these two, like, shows, yeah, they're completely different, like, shows, but, like, they're both about blackness, and one is doing it very right by just letting it flow.
Yeah.
And one is, like... Gather around while I teach you the struggles of my people.
Well, I mean, it's refreshing when you think about it, having a period of time when you could just watch TV and not have to think about, like, this is what your blackness means to society. Like, sometimes you just want to chill.
Yeah.
You know, right. Especially when you consider how much, I call it onslaught fiction TV. Like the Breaking Bads and the Mad Men, where you watch it and it's like you need to go to therapy afterwards. It's nice to watch something that doesn't put you through all this stuff just to get through one episode. And where blackness isn't, you're not conscious of blackness being explained in one way or another to people who are not black. Mm. Like, I don't want to have to think about you're not black ass when I watch TV.
Because we get nothing out of that. Like, we get nothing. Only place people getting stuff out of that are people who aren't black. And, like, I don't understand why. It feels like we're always on display when we're watching these shows. It's like, this was, I don't know. I feel like if your show is a good show, it can stand on its own without, like, these kind of like, I don't know, these, what's the word?
It really, Black-ish feels like a, what they used to call the very special episodes in the 80s and stuff where they just want to talk about drugs or homelessness or something. That's really what it feels like. Where, but for Atlanta, like, I've never lived in Atlanta. I lived in Augusta, which is like 2 hours east of there. But it feels like, I don't know, I'm not peeking. That's not the right word. But I'm getting a glimpse of somebody who stands, who lives down the street from me, or that I go to work and I only talk to them for 8 hours a day. But the rest of their life is like them dealing with their baby daddy or whatever. He's a piece of shit. But it's not like, oh, I'm learning so much for them. It's just like, oh, that's their day. And they'll be, I'll see them tomorrow and that's it. It's not like this grand scheme where I'm just learning so much about the universe and their lives, the Black person in my life. Yeah. No, it's just they're a regular ass Black person and they got their own problems and I got my own shit and we're just getting through the day. Like, that's really all
I need. It's not like some sorrowful tale of like, you know, the woman who plays Van, like she's not some like, you know, cautionary tale about what happens when you have premarital sex in the ghetto. Normal, like, she could be your very bland cousin who you only talk to on Christmas when you see her.
Yeah. You know? That you also kind of judge a little, but it's like, well, she's going through some things. She'll figure it out, but okay. You're okay.
Yeah, but you're just like, you just keep it moving. Mm-hmm. You pass her a joint, you're like, hurry up.
She's a weed head. I like that they at least gave her that, you know.
So the most recent, well, I mean, you know that there's weed in the show because it's shown in the show. Mm-hmm. But I focused on the most recent episode because it shows Van and her homegirl, who, again, to me is more interesting than she is, like, smoking in the car. And I watched the HBO episodes of High Maintenance recently. And I was thinking about how much it bothers me that, like, all of this, like, the green rush, the weed boom, and the way that it's happening is so focused around, like, white people because it's respectable now.
Yeah.
Like, now you're allowed to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt oddly refreshing to just see this very naturalistic scene. First of all, like, after the conflict you see between them because their lives are so different, and the way that, like, there's tension so early on, but that they're able to, like, kind of circle back to each other, which also is its own really, like, really great depiction of the vicissitudes of women's friendships. Like, just watching them smoke weed in the car without, like, oh, we're criminalizing them, or...
Yeah.
Like, cops are going to pull up, so we have to think about police violence. It's just two chicks in a car smoking trees and talking shit. It was...
And I like that. Yeah. I like that point also because there's this new show, like, on MTV, which is produced by Snoop Dogg. And it's,
oh,
like,
God.
Two white girls. It's, like, two, like, gangly white girls who are, like, into, like, weed. And it's, like, the Broad City of, like, for MTV. And I'm like, one, we already have Broad City.
Right.
Like, we don't need a second one. And two, why is Snoop producing this? So, like, I like that there's, like, I like that
check.
They showed.
I bet you Snoop got some, like, nouveau Girls Gone Wild, but for stoner chicks. And he figures that if he bankrolls white girls getting stoned on MTV, it'll lead to a market.
I know, he's probably so high he thinks they're, like, green. Probably thinks they're actually, like, weed plants. It's like, oh, I got the first show with, like, actual weed plants on TV. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that was, like...
Charlotte Green has, like, is up for 54 years. Like, I hate to sound like a super downer. Like...
He was like, pretty Charlotte Green.
Right.
But no, like, it's bothersome to think about that. And so that's why it's like, yo, I just want to see... Black folks who are like, I had a long fucking day. You know what? How much for an egg?
Yeah.
Don't say that on my fucking phone, messy. And then just, you know.
That was the best part of the show.
She was sloppy, though. I'm like, are you new? Girl, you smoked before. I don't understand.
that, I guess this is a really messy segue, but like, let's talk about the characters on the show, because I think all of the characters are, well, most of them, I think I low key like having a show where I can actually root for most of the characters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been so long, I feel like, that there's been a show where, like, the characters are actually likable. Like, that's been such a thing that to have these, this is Adrian, by the way, to have this, like, anti-hero bullshit. And one of the things I thought about it when Julia was mentioning, you know, this kind of, like, friendship between Van and, what, I can't remember her name. But her
Jade.
Friend,
I just, like, watched it. Sorry.
Yeah, she's the you know, basketball wife type. She, and how, like, whenever we see depictions of, you know, women who have friendships, it's, like, white women who actually hate each other and are total, like, narcissists, at least, if not, like, outright sociopaths, like in Girls or Unreal, where it's, like, how is this, like, a friendship? Like, this isn't a complicated friendship. This is just, like, fucked up, and maybe y'all don't actually like each other, and you need to move on.
Right. So, yeah, I do like that, like, what you said, like, there's no anti-hero. Everyone is a generally likable person, which I think is good, considering that black people are, it's like, you know, it's okay to, like, shoot us point blank in the streets these days and, like, have it be on videotape and no one does shit because they think that we're, you know, we're just criminals or that, you know, we're subhuman. So it's nice to see black folks on TV just being human and enjoying each other and not, like, in some weird competition like you do see with white girls on TV or white women on TV. So,
and no Sidney Poitier, guess who's coming to dinner ass nigga. Like, that's a relief too, Carlton thinks that. Even Carlton had his black ass moment. Remember when he told that person off? Like, just because I'm rich doesn't mean I'm not black.
I'll have you know I am a Negro.
I'm a wealthy Negro, but I'm still a Negro, and when I sing niggas in Paris, I sing the niggas.
I sing it with the hard R, but I sing it. I think that's a good point because, like, yeah, so, like, you have shows where they have, like, black folks who are all different types of characters and, like, characters you can identify with, or you can identify at least, you know, but there's no character that comes in that's like, I'm the complete opposite of all of these black characters because I'm from a, you know, I'm from this white neighborhood, or I'm from a different world, which is usually a world of whiteness. Like, they're showing different characters, but I feel like they deliberately left out that one character that may connect with white audiences more than the other characters.
Well, they did have that white guy in the first episode, which I feel like a lot of people probably didn't recognize as themselves, the one who said nigga with Donald, but not when he told the story later. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of people who don't know that they're being talked about when that's very much them.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, there's also one other point. Like, I want to get back to, like, the whole character rundown. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I like that he called those people out who are, like, you know, who think they're down around their one black friend who they know don't have any other black friends. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, the one point where they have the man who's, like, who they think is South Asian, or he's, like, some, like, racially ambiguous brown man who keeps saying nigga, and they're like, I don't like it when brown people say nigga. And I was like, yes! They
were so, like, point blank about it, too, which was, like, beautiful. Like, they were like, we're not gonna pussy, we were like, I don't like that, like, message. Mm-hmm. Message.
Yeah. Yes, like, get these gas racist humans out of here.
Oh my god.
Like, that's, I don't care what part of Queens you grew up in, you need to stop saying nigga.
Whiter, that gentleman was.
Yeah, so it's like, I love it, like, they're holding no punches about, like, yo, you need to know your place, and you're like, way out of your lane, and we see what the hell you're doing, and it's mad corny. And I just love that that's a part of the show. They don't dwell on it. They just, like, come around to it in a way that makes you realize that, like, these people are the joke. Like, this isn't a joke. These people are the joke.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So that was, like, I don't have a list of, like, talking points, but that was, like, in the back of my head. It's like, we need to talk about this.
I love my...
Because as Solange said, there are a whole bunch of, like, corny non-niggas just going wild on the internet with the N-word. Shout out to Sister Solange, who gave us the album of the year.
I was going to say, too, that, like, this kind of show, it kind of ties in with me where I'm thinking about Solange's album and also Beyonce's album, where it's, like, these things were clearly made not to be a teachable moment, but just because, like, you know, these are Black people who want to make their own art and... Mm-hmm. Surprise, it's Black as hell, and they don't give a shit, and what do you know, it's like amazing and it's super successful, and then meanwhile you have every cornball out here with, you know, Ashia's all get out trying to appease like whatever Susie and Jan is out there and failing miserably, or at least like just like middling and just being like, you know, like they're, they have like no artistry, no craft, no nothing. Yeah. And I'm just like, do you not see like what's going on here? Like, if you just got your shit way the fuck together, you had your little napkin moment, you'd be out here thriving. You'd be doing so much better for yourself.
I feel like it's really good too, but because then they lose, like,
their white friends.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's cool too, because you see so many different, like as far as like talking about the whole like Black genius like conversation. Because we're seeing it in so many different avenues. Like, you have Beyonce, who's, like, queen of, like... You can't even call her a pop star. She's a global pop star at this point. And she made Lemonade, which is, like, this very, like, blackity-black-ass album. And she did it with, like, on her own terms. And then you see Donald doing it, like, in, you know, the film world. And you see, like, Solange doing it on a, in a different spectrum within music. And that just is what you can create when you just kind of like have this unbridled like Black genius, and you just kind of let it do its thing. And it's so easy to see what it looks like when it's real versus.
I wouldn't put Donald up there with Beyonce and Solange, but I mean, this is a good first sort of show.
You wouldn't put him up there. The power of hiring a bunch of Black people. You're gonna make Black media. You're going to make it knowing that you want the point of view to be reflective, not just of your own individual Negroid experience, but of a larger Negroid experience, then you need to hire a shit ton of Black folks and pay them properly.
And that's the other thing I really like about Atlanta is that there's so many like different kind of perspectives of like how that kind of plays out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, all these characters are kind of, like, a little bit down on their luck or whatever, but they're very, like, different people, different backgrounds. They all have different issues with one another. I really, you know, I love it. I feel like it's, like, we're always so starved for, like, more than, like, one Black character almost. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At least dealing with, I don't know, nonsense white television.
I'm hoping that it opens up some, like, I hate seeing class conversation like that really accurately does it, but like just in the reading, they're like, Earn is a Princeton University dropout, and then there's his cousin, the weed dealer, who is also this paperboy rapper person. I'm hoping that, like, just from what we saw in the first episode of how Earn is able to go into spaces that his cousin can't. Yeah. I hope that there's basically I want a like sort of a come to Jesus moment for self-important Black folks who like think that they're better because they're not hood. The ones who got affronted when Trump mentioned like the inner cities, and they were quick to be like, but that's not me. I'm from a suburb. Like, shut the fuck up. Like,
right? Like, what is the point of you saying this here? Okay.
Right. Like, it reminds me, and I know that this is a non sequitur, but like, of this friend of mine who is Desi and Muslim was talking about how it annoyed her when she saw like news stories after attacks where folks were like, well, I'm brown but not Muslim, and I'd like to say, and she's like, the point is these motherfuckers don't care. Like, you look close enough to me and my parents and my siblings to get this shit. Like, but you announcing like, but I'm not one of them isn't really helping shit. Like,
right. It's a It's completely self-serving is what it is.
Exactly.
I don't understand the instant need to separate yourself from those blacks. Like, you're just kind of, mm-hmm. I don't know, I feel like you're just kind of confirming, like, these, like, stupid-ass stereotypes when you, like, make this, like, huge effort to separate yourselves from, you know, the working class or, like, the stereotypical black person. Like, you're doing nothing for anyone but yourself. And you're not even doing anything for yourself. You're just making yourself look like a fucking ass. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's, like, I think I woke up yesterday and I saw, like, after the last debate with What's-His-Face and What's-Her-Face.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. Those guys.
Yeah, and I kept seeing, like, I saw this one tweet where it's like, well, either of them address, like, you know, poverty or unemployment or state-sanctioned violence, police brutality. And someone was like, no, we're too busy in the ghettos. We couldn't hear over the sirens. And I was like, what the fuck was the point? Like, was that supposed to be, like, was that, like, quippy? Or, like, what was that? Like, that wasn't... And I saw this tweet, like, retweeted, like, 1,000 times. And I was like, what is the point of this?
Yeah, I didn't really I don't understand the constant need to, like, center oneself in the conversation, you know, because sometimes it's just, like, it's not going to be about you specifically and, like, your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I just, like, I don't...
It's like you're sitting here making this joke about, like, how you couldn't hear because you were stuck in the ghetto. Meanwhile, that's very much a reality for people, and we're not addressing that reality mm-hmm. because you're offended by being lumped in with them. Like, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Also, first of all, you got cousins who live there, probably, maybe not.
And they probably hate your ass.
And they hate you.
That they
remember
cousins
you from when y'all were little, and y'all never did. You never wanted to do anything when you went to their house. They didn't fuck with you then, and they don't fuck with you now.
Cousins,
first of all.
Cousins, you only mention when you talk about how you're hood adjacent.
God.
Meanwhile, you should be lucky, because if it wasn't for your big cousins who you shade because they live in the hood, your edges wouldn't be prospering, because that bitch taught you how sex classes work. You rude ass.
You ungrateful.
Exactly. You'd have gotten your shit burnt up at the mall JCPenney salon because you thought you was with your white friends and that all of you are the same.
Walking around with your Paris Hilton weave.
You try putting in your own relaxer and burn off half your follicles.
This is just making me think of that alt right girl.
Bernice, you was solid, and now you want to talk about how you don't live where Bernice lives. You rude. Bernice deserved to beat your ass for that one. Yeah.
It's just making me think of that.
I buy my t-shirts at the Good Mall. Head ass.
So back to the, I guess we can start with Donald, who plays Earn.
Mm-hmm.
What are our thoughts on Earn?
He's kind of just there at this point. He's had some interesting arcs. I really liked the episode with Black Justin Bieber, where he's sort of like mm-hmm. invited into the space with all the other managers, and he kept being like, am I supposed to be here? Or is anybody going to kick me out? And sort of like his reaction to that. But I feel like some of the best, most successful stories are the ones that don't focus on Earn, like the one with Darius, mm-hmm. where he goes to the shooting range, the one where Darius... is partnered with Earn, and it's sort of like this weird adventure where they're both trying to, you know, earn money. And
that was a really cute episode.
Yeah, and it was like black friendship or black male friendship that wasn't.
Oh, yeah. And he says at the end, oh, we're friends now. And I was like, oh, you are.
Yeah.
You're so cute.
I love how tender the relationships are on the show between black men, like even between, what is Paperboy's name on the show?
Alfred,
yes. Like, even between Alfred and Earn, who are kind of, like, strained, like, they have this strained relationship, we don't know why, but there's, like, this tension between them, but there's still, like, this very, like, I don't know, this, like, very, there's, like, tenderness between them, and you kind of see that come out when, during the Justin Bieber episode, when they're just kind of, you know, hanging out, and, like, towards the end of the show, and then you see it with Darius, who is just, like, I don't know, he's just, like, a very, I feel like he's just like a very loving character. Like, it's played by a very loving person in general. And Stanfield, or as I call him, Bakey.
Oh, this will be coming. Thirst,
because yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're rounding up to the forest, which is really what brought us all together.
We could stop talking about Ern and start talking about Lakeith.
Yeah, let's get real about
her. Are we just going to skip Alfred? I think Alfred's a cutie also.
Alfred is cuddly, but I don't know, there's something about Darius. I'm just like, oh my god, I'm a 30-year-old woman who's in love with this stoner. I don't even know what he's doing.
I think Alfred is like, every, like, he's like every overweight black person rolled into one. Like, he just doesn't have fucking time for anything. He just wants his money, and he wants you to leave him alone.
That's so hot.
He hates everyone. I feel like Alfred is me.
He is kind of
I mean, I was trying to keep it with Alfred so he could buy me, like, wings and then leave me alone to eat them.
I love that, like, how every time like wings is brought up.
We would get.
I think there are there are constants in the show where like Alfred is like there's always someone who's like he's like battling. There's always like one nemesis in the show for him. And there's always like a scene where he's on his phone and he's denying that he's the weed dealer.
Yeah.
Which is like, I feel like that's like one of the best parts of the show is like how are they gonna work in like Alfred's like his like. His annoyance with everyone and also his paranoia. Like, how are they going to work it into each, like, storyline?
The episode where they went to go, like, pick up the weed from, like, Migos? Like,
yeah.
The oh country? My God.
What was
I remember
that?
Watching and being like, oh,
what
shit.
What was that trap-ass delivery?
When he's trying to get Darius to act right while the guy's getting beat up on the other side of the trailer. He's like pointing his eyes out of his head like, bruh, look.
I think the funny, and also that show was when, like, Ern calls him because he wants him to transfer money over because he's on that Brooke-ass date with Van. And then, like, he's like, well, I gotta go. And then Ern's like, so how's the drug deal going? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's just so tired of everyone around him.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like Ern and his girlfriend are like the least interesting characters on the show, but then like you have these other characters. It's like, I'm really interested in Darius, not just because he's fine, but because, you know, he just seems like a legitimate freak. He just seems like a weird dude, and I love it. And I also...
There's something really, like, sweet and almost naive.
He's like the kind of dude you know comes from Atlanta. Like, we've always, like... I think the reason why, like, so much, like, rap comes from Atlanta, while we're always so transfixed on them, whether it's rap or whether it's, like, some messy-ass reality TV show or whether it's anything that comes from Atlanta, we're always kind of, like, transfixed on them because there's, like... There really is this, like, hub of just, like, black fucking, like, creativity and kind of, like... I don't know. It's, like... It's like these. It's like we're. It's like you live in. They live in this black enclave where you're just allowed to be whoever the fuck you want to be, and that can manifest itself in a number of ways. And that's why they were always like so captivated by people like who are from Atlanta. It's just like a different energy coming from them.
I think, absolutely. Like, Darius
kind of like all of that.
Well, Darius gets to represent the weird black kid who isn't depicted as a nerd or an
anime fan or anything like that.
Yeah, like, he's cool. Yeah. He's cool. I can't wait for Darius to have, like, a crystal plotline.
He kind of reminds me of, like the weird neighbor or the weird friend that always comes over and he's gone through this whole crazy day and then he comes in into the main story and he's just hanging out because this is plain and normal for him, but he probably did some crazy shit before he came over there. I want to see what that day is like for him.
I want to go back to Adrian.
Like, you don't want to get into a relationship because he'll ruin your life. He'll ruin your credit.
I'm ready, willing, and able.
I would get into a relationship.
Adrian, I want to
the best low maintenance boyfriend ever. Ever.
I don't think so. I think he's crazy in a relationship. Like, I think he will ruin your life.
No, see, because check this out, right? All you have to do is be momentarily nice to him, but leave him alone the rest of the time.
But if you leave him alone, he'll burn your house down.
You don't give him your place. You don't let him know where you live. You just, you go over there and you leave and don't ever tell him where you live. Major key.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my problem. Inviting these people into my home.
Listen.
Maybe that's where I'm fucking up.
You might be
I didn't say Alfred on the floor or something. I said he'd make a great lonely.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Darius. Like, you can't invite Darius into your room because he'll burn it down on accident.
No, no, she can't touch any of my appliances.
You have to get baby proofing.
Exactly. Right. Your sink would start shooting out sparks. It'd be awful.
Like, he just walks in and the roof collapses.
Nope.
Yeah, you go over to his.
So yeah, so I guess like while we just go ahead and
Gumby.
Okay, so we have a clear favorite. I think I'm tied with Alfred and Darius. You know, that's very dirty. I'm like gonna say that. I'm just gonna move on. Say that for the DM. growing as a person,
I would not mind watching Lakeith do push-ups. In fact, I think that if I can put my dreams out there, I think that he and Flying Lotus can have a shirtless push-up competition and put it on Snapchat. And then
I love how long you've had this, like, thirst fanfic in your head about Flying Lotus. Ever since I've known you, it's been like, and then, in the seventh chapter of my fanfic.
I'm consistent like that Sufjan Drake fan fiction. I know what it is. I know my character.
I had no idea that's how you pronounce Sufjan. Oh.
I just tweeted about this the other day because I was watching You're the Worst, and he said it, and I was like, what is he talking about? I rewound it and put the caption on, and I was like, oh my fucking god. I like held my chest. I did not know how he said that.
Yeah, everyone else is Sufjan. What is it? What am I doing wrong?
It is Sufjan. I did not know it was Sufjan.
I've only ever seen this man's name on Tumblr.
That's
with
the other part of it. I've never listened to him. I've never seen an interview of him or anything like that. So it's just
he writes really pretty songs about Jesus and killing himself.
Yeah, so naturally, I was listening to him a lot in high school.
Get a little happier. But still kind of
sounds like a good time.
Maybe next year.
How do we even get on him? I don't know. But yeah, okay, so we have Darius, we have Alfred, we have Ern, who's kind of just like a background character on his own show. And then we have Ern's parents, who I love.
I love them.
I love the parents.
I want Ern and Van to give up custody to Ern's parents.
Lottie, to the parents. Can I just also say that I love Lottie because she looks like a black kid. Like, that's a black baby through and through. Mm-hmm. She has the little ponytails that are like, you know, sticking up every which way. Like, it's just a very, very cute baby. She doesn't have this, like, soft, curly, like, you know, manageable hair that's, like, slicked down, like, you know, a Northwest. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just a very, like, black kid. And which brings me back to how much I hate Blackish. Yes. And the last season, not this season, but the last season of Blackish, they had this episode with, I think it was kind of centered around Diane, or maybe she was like, I don't know, they never really center a show around Diane because she's the dark one.
and Camille Winbush have ever had a conversation.
Who is Camille Winbush?
She played the eldest daughter on the Bernie Mac show.
She was beautiful. She was beautiful. Like now. Yeah.
And notice, never heard about her after that show. I'm like, right. I really want for them to have some kind of interaction.
We're going to have to have you back for the colorism show, Julia.
Yay!
So we can just go off. Which is coming soon. But yeah, so like on this episode of the show, I forgot what the plot was. All I know is that I was so like, I could not help but zoom in on this terrible wig they put on this poor little baby. She's like, I don't know, she's like what, 8 or 9 or maybe 10? I don't know. But they had this like terrible wig and looked like a shiny hair helmet. And I was like, yo, you can go on hairscissors.com. sisterwigs.com right now and find a nice kinky curly wig for a smooth $30. and you have this, like, nasty helmet.
You can go on
helmet.
To YouTube for free 99 and watch a tutorial so that the stuff doesn't look like it just came out.
Right. Like, if you must put a wig on this child's head, get a kinky curly wig, or, you know, just, you know, do her natural hair. Like, it was so upsetting. And so when I saw Lottie, I was like, oh, thank God we have, like, an actual black baby here who's allowed to look like a fucking black baby.
Oh, God. One episode of Blackish, because there's only so much sanctimony I can, like, deal with.
I'm looking it up right now. There's literally a picture of her, like, two different combs stuck in her hair, and, like, half of it is straight. The other half is afro. So I'm just, I'm closing the tab on that.
So and everyone's always going on about how great the hair looks on the show. I'm like, the hair on the show, like, everyone on that show is, like, clearly biracial. Like, you have Tracy Ellis Ross in her eye, and then you have and then you have, like, the other three kids who are clearly biracial, and they always say, well, you know, Rainbow, who is Tracy Ellis Ross's character, she's half white and half black, so of course the kids have, or look like her, except for Diane. Like, it just makes no sense. So they're always going on about how great the styling is on the show, and how they clearly have a black hairstylist. I'm like, well, is the black hairstylist, like, Tracy's sister? Like, who is it? Because they cannot do, like, they cannot do a little black girl's, like, type 4 hair.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm looking at the pictures of the Blackish family, right? Because, like, I've never watched this show before. So Diane is the one she looks like she has less admixture, shall we say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the other kids. And I find it really funny that we have a real life living in the White House example times two of kids of one biracial black parent and one not biracial black parent, and they're closer in skin tone to Diane than any of the other children. That is super funny to me. I mean, good job.
So, Blackish is a terrible show. Back to Lottie. I'm just so happy. I love the baby. I love the last episode where, like, the baby is, like, starting to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how, like, babies kind of, like, get stuck on one phrase or one word when they learn it and they say it over and over again? I love that, like, I love the chemistry between Donald and this little baby. Like, it's not baby talk. It's like, you know, I don't know. They talk to this baby like it's an actual human.
It is really cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cute. So you have the baby say, like, the baby was saying, like, what is she doing? And Donald's like, I don't know what she's doing. And that went on for, like, a minute. Yeah. It was so cute. So, I think Lottie might be my favorite character. And then it's, like, a tie between Alfred and Darius. And then it's Earn's parents. Which brings us to Van.
Oh, yeah. I just realized no one mentioned her.
Van, to me, feels like someone that went to, like, Spelman. And, it feels like Van and the other girl, whose name I don't remember, both went to Spelman, and they were both AKAs, and Van went one way, and then the other girl went the other way, the more interesting way. That's what feels like has happened to her. Like, her life didn't turn out the way that she planned it, or the way that, you know, she was told it would be, that she would be, like, upper middle class and successful and all this other stuff. So I think she's just dealing with that. And she's clearly jealous of her friend who can do whatever the fuck she wants with her life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the best, like, description ever. Thank you for that.
I loved Alfred making fun of her.
Oh,
I love that he hates her. He hates her. Like, he hates everyone, but, like, he hates with a purpose. I feel so close to him.
I feel like her and Earn, like, both are, like, the type of people who are, like, oh, I had a lot of promise going for me, and then, like, I had a kid, or, like, this thing happened, or whatever, and, like, they kind of are, like, oh, shit, like, real life just caught up with me, and then everybody else around them is, like, what the fuck do you think has been, like, going on for the rest of us?
Yeah, yeah, I think I saw a tweet earlier from someone who was like, I can't stand black people who realize they're black in their late 20s. Kind of, like, that's definitely Donald Glover's trajectory. Like, it's definitely been his story. I can totally see how, like, how Donald is probably, like, telling his story through Earn's character.
Yeah.
And it would make sense for him to be attracted to someone who was on that in that same lane.
Can I? Well,
I'm like thinking of all these different things down now. You brought up the whole like AKA and Spellman.
Well, that's what it feels like because, okay, so some background on me. I'm from Stone Mountain. Like, I was raised in Stone Mountain and pretty much, like, adjacent, I guess, to, like, Donald Glover in terms of, like, experiences. Like, we both went, we're not the same age, but we, like, went to the same schools and, like, pretty much a similar situation where Stone Mountain got really bad and we had to move out. So I don't know, you know, how his experiences have shaped, like, what he's doing on the show, but to me, it feels very like, I don't know what, you know, class his family is, but it does feel like a middle class black voice that he's telling it from, or the story of like middle class, lower middle class that was supposed to like lift the family up or like make it for the family. And then everything's just like ruined potential. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Like he grabbed the baton for the relay and then dropped it, and now we're witnesses to what it looks like afterward.
So I'm sort of, and one thing that, you know, you kind of have to think about with Atlanta is that like Atlanta is very much where black people go to become upper middle class, to get like these jobs and to live and thrive in like a really functioning black middle class. The only other cities that I can think of that really have that are like Washington, D.C. or in some respects, like Washington, D.C. adjacent cities where you have like a truly thriving black middle class, you know, with like black cities and like really upper middle class black neighborhoods. So growing up around like black money or like black wealth and seeing that in Atlanta, it's very clear that they all want to sort of like be that.
I can't wait to rewatch all these episodes with like this brand, this like clarity you've given me.
But well, yeah, because there's sort of like two ways about it in Atlanta in terms of like you either join like rap, because there's a lot of rap in Atlanta. There's, I mean, Jermaine Dupri, So Def, you know, you have Migos coming out of Atlanta, you have Future, all of that. And then you have, you know,
how dare you mention Future instead of Gucci?
Okay, Gucci Mane, sorry. Gucci Mane. Finally, you know, finally out. Sorry. I need to turn in my Atlanta card. Sorry. But right, you have all of that, but then contrast with that, you have, you know, the black middle, like the people that followed the right plan. You know, they went to, like my husband, they went to Morehouse, or they went to Spelman, or they went to Georgia Tech, you know, and they got these degrees and they got these very, very corporate jobs. And now they live in like Dunwoody or Buckhead and drive like a Chrysler 300 and have like a wife, like a light wife, you know, and they're cute kids. Yeah. So that's essentially what Atlanta's like. And very much why the show feels very, very authentic to me. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you.
No problem.
I think we should give Janelle a hand clap.
Thank you. Yay.
That was good. It makes me want to go to Atlanta now. I've been wanting to go for a while, but I definitely want to go now.
Please do. I feel like Atlanta's so, like, slept on in terms of, like, things to do. Like, I love it. Like, I can't wait to go back. Like, move back. Because
I'm definitely going next year because, like, half of my family lives in Atlanta, and I haven't gone since I was, like, a baby. So
well, if y'all need, like, restaurant recs, if you want to know the hot wing restaurant that they were at.
Yes. I want to go there just as, like, a tourist.
J.R. Crickets, man. They have the best wings in Atlanta.
I love that, like, the possibility of Donald Glover, like, making, like, all the hoodest spots in Atlanta, like, tourist spots.
I'm imagining, like, half the people, though, being like, oh, Donald Glover, oh, you put this spot on the map. Oh, we hate you. We hate you. You don't understand. We hate you.
Now there's
wings have gone up to $12 now. Fuck you. They added a Korean sweet spicy. That's not hood.
They throw their extra ranch that they got charged 50 cents for at him.
They have a Tex-Mex.
Chipotle wings.
They start carrying sriracha. All right. Sriracha.
So, yeah, so let's get back to Van.
Do we have to? What is that
do
even
we have to? Yeah.
I just feel like Van, like, for some reason I keep seeing all these, like, different pieces being written about, like, how refreshing she is. And I see nothing refreshing. Like, yeah, she's a very banal character. She's very bland and just, you know, very relatable in that she's just a regular-ass black girl. But I would not go so far to say she's the fucking breakout star, because she sure as hell isn't. Because, like, I think, like, the character is boring, but I also think, like, the person who plays her is, like, I kind of don't know where the two of them end. Like, I did watch, I've read the interviews, and I've watched, like, watched different videos on YouTube, and I'm just like, I feel like Donald Glover just thought she was very attractive. He was like, hey, we'll throw her in. Because, like, we know, like, what his type is. And I'm like, I feel like...
Well, if that was his type, wouldn't she be half Asian?
That would not fit in. Well, she's half German. That would not fit in with, like, the whole...
It would,
like,
be like a Kimora, right?
Isn't that woman who's concubining with Peter Gunn's half German, too? I don't... I'm just...
Get out!
I'm
just first of all, the only love in hip-hop we recognize is Atlanta.
I don't think any, like, iteration of Love and Hip Hop is recognized by their city.
Because why
yeah,
would
so, like, I don't know. I like the episode that was focused on Van. I like the actual storyline. Mm-hmm. I like the storyline even when, like, she made him, his broke ass, take her out on a date and she knew damn well he was broke. I like that storyline. I've enjoyed the character of Van. I just don't understand why they couldn't push that envelope like they're doing with the rest of the characters and make her not like every other, like, you know, black millennial we see on TV where she has this, like, light skin.
Like, I enjoy
it's just
that
so
Van
boring at this point. So
other
boring.
Characters getting to talk.
What?
I enjoy that Van facilitates good stuff from other characters.
Like Alfred, who hates her.
Right, like, listening to Alfred, like, mock the shit out of her for, like, oh, you thought you was big and bad, because, oh, weed is so bad for you. Like, yeah. He was making fun of her voice. I fell out. That was great.
I even felt like Earn kind of, like, makes fun of her. Because you remember when she was like, all you do is make fun of me when I tell you I want to be a boutique owner. And I feel like
he should make fun of you, girl. You don't have any money. Don't do anything.
Like, how original is it for this, you know, light-skinned, manic pixie, like, black dream girl who want to own a boutique in Atlanta and have, like, you know, wild natural hair and, like, wear
incense.
Scarves and shit.
Oh,
like,
the other great moment, I figure everyone's up to date on the show except for tonight's episode, so it's no spoiler alert, right? Right?
Yeah.
When she got fired, that was great.
You know, can we talk about that, though? Like, I think that was so... Like, there was, like, a quiet brilliance to that. Like, the way that the higher-up, her boss was just like, well, like, yeah, everybody does it. Because, like, I know people who have worked in education. That's what it's like. Like, a lot of people have, like, you know, like, they work with kids. They have liquor in their desk. Or, like, they smoke mad weed or whatever. But it's just, like, you don't talk about it. And that's, like, to me is, like, one of the crazy things, but it's also just, like, oh, yeah, like, the way they kind of, like, sneak in this kind of, like, it's not, like, oh, there's, like, a huge message or a PSA thing here, but it's, like, yeah, you know, these kids are, like, fucked from Jump Street, and so you have to find a way to
especially
cope with that.
Especially the kid that was wearing white face.
The kid was brilliant. I love him. I wish.
I loved him.
That's my son that you're talking about, damn it. That's my child.
I know. I'm like.
I can't wait. If being a parent means that I get to have that experience with the vice principal, sign me up. I can't wait.
Me and you, yeah, I will go halvesies on that kid with you, Julia. I'm ready. I'm ready to be.
I'm like, please tell me what my son did. Say it. Read the report. I'm going to just record this on my phone. Do it. Do you.
That child is beautiful. I love that child. I want my kids to be exactly like that. I don't know how to do it. Feed it too much sugar and give it way too much free time to do what it wants. I don't know.
I have to say, like, the show has, like, a really, really great weird bent that I feel like, You know, like, so yeah, the kid in white face, but then obviously, like, the black Justin Bieber. And...
Oh, God, I was so confused about it.
That was the most brilliant episode.
Yeah. And then the first episode, I guess, with the guy that was, like, making the Nutella sandwich.
Yeah,
like, there's just, like, an oddity and a weirdness to it that I also just really, really enjoy. Like,
well, I know he said he wanted to make, like, a black Twin Peaks, or, like, a Twin Peaks set in Atlanta.
I've never seen Twin Peaks, so I don't know what he's talking about with
that.
My friend said Twin Peaks, she was like, I just watch it for the colors. Like, I've watched Twin Peaks before, and I, like, can't get into it, and everybody's like, oh, you watched the movie, and so I'm like, yeah, the movie was all right, like, it had, like, normal pacing to it, I don't know, and then they're like, but you didn't watch a series, I'm like, no, I don't have 40 million hours on my hands, and, like,
exactly.
A kilo of weed to smoke, and just stare at colors, and think about, like, what David Lynch was thinking about, I don't care, like... It's nice.
The only thing I remember about Twin Peaks is that weird guy hiding behind the bed. Like, I know I watched the whole thing, but that scary white guy with the long hair. No, thank you. No, I'm not watching that again.
Twin Peaks makes me think.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what Donald Glover said he was going for. I get like a little bit of Twin Peaks and, like, Louie, which I think is a terrible show. I see, like, there's all, like, you know, influences. I like that he's put this, like, you know, blackity black ass spin on it. I think it's been successful so far. And I don't know, I feel like I watch every episode, like, at least three times. It's just such a good ass show.
Yeah, every time you
from, like, the music.
It was like every time you told us we were going to record later, I just started watching the episodes over again. I was like, okay. I'm just going to do my homework over again. I just kept watching. I'm watching it right now. And it's just on mute.
Yeah.
It's just a good show. You're like, mom, look at these black people doing black stuff. It's great.
Oh, Yo, the music supervisor on that show needs a damn award. Like, really every
good.
Episode the, like, so far.
I love how they go from Young Gotti to, like, Shabazz Palace.
Yeah. Exactly. But that's the thing.
Yo Gotti, excuse me. Blasphemy. I'm so sorry.
And I feel like it's something that, like, if you're black and in the U.S., this is something that you had to deal with at some point. The assumption that because you are a black person, you listen to one kind of music and one kind of music alone. Whether it's only listen to rap, you only listen to R&B because you're black and a girl, and I figure you're into that. You only listen to, like, some quote-unquote white music because you grew up in the suburbs and so on. And I think of, you know, that Chimamanda Adichie deal, that the danger of a single story type situation. And I think that just the music in the background shows, like, these are not in opposition to each other. They all exist in this universe that we've created in the show, and they all make sense here. Like, our music collections include all of this stuff, but we're not beating you over the head with it. You're just going to hear these, like, segues with these musical clips.
I also like that there was, like, this one joke, like, where Donald Glover's, like, talking about, like, how this girl, how his band's going on a date. And he's like, I bet he listens to 90s music.
My dreads are in a bun.
Corny dudes. Yeah, my dreads are in a bun. And have you ever heard any 90s music? It's all great. I love that, like, I love that, like, the soundtrack is very much, like, a lot of, like, this, like, you know, music from, like, all these young dudes out of Atlanta or just the South period, where, like, a lot of these old hip-hop heads just want to acknowledge them as actual, like, you know, rappers. And I love that, like, he, like, fuses that music into the show. And he's like, you know, it's 2016. Like, you know, like, everyone's not listening to Wu-Tang anymore. And it's okay. Like, you can have, like, these two types of music. Like you said, Julia, these two types of music can exist at one time. And it's okay. It's all hip-hop. So I appreciate that point. I appreciate how rude he made the point. I think all my favorite points have been made in a very rude way, which I connect with. So, I don't know. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up because we've been talking, like, about this show for over an hour now. You guys have any, like, final thoughts on what you think about the show, where you want it to go, whatever, you know, whatever you have for dinner.
I want to see that woman mama. From Earn's Job again.
Yes!
She's hilarious. I've preached about her.
That was when she was like flipping it, smacking it, rubbing it down on that dude, like miming it. I'm like, you're my favorite person already, and I want to see a Golden Girls reboot that's based around you in all black.
I love the idea that she knows that like white people respond to like this Aunt Jemima character, and so she uses that to like get them for that.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
She's like, I'm sure she'll pay my rent.
Has like two sponsors. And she's like, yeah, I work, but I mostly just do it to get out of the house. Like,
I'm
hooking up with a 20-year-old at this job. Once I'm done with him, I'm going to quit this job, and it's whatever. My car is paid off, and I'm not paying any of the bills in this place. Like, I want to flesh out her backstory. I feel like she has a lot to say.
Well, I think Atlanta was renewed for season 2. I read that a couple days ago. So maybe we'll get, like, I don't know, maybe we'll...
If he doesn't get...
Maybe she'll hook up with Ernie. Maybe she'll hook up with Alfred.
Then the world isn't fair. Yeah. I'm like, if they could have a whole-ass Frankie and June on the Netflix, they could give that woman half an episode.
When are they gonna... Okay, here's my question. When are they gonna put Zosia Rockmore? Is that her name, Zosia Rockmore? Yeah, on the show because they need to save her. And I love her and Lakeith so much. They're like, everyone's like Brangelina. I'm like, no, but we have Lakeith and Zosia, and that's like some real black love. And you know
that's the only black love we need.
Yeah, that's the only
solid as a rock black love.
They hate white people together. She is catching the Mindy Project checks, so she's not that vocal about it. But she's very slick with
and
it.
And Mindy gets blonder every season. Somebody needs to come get her before
send up a prayer for Zosia.
You know, like, their foreplay is just, like, her bitching about her job. You know it. He probably was like, baby, I got something for you. And he put in that line about, like, South Asians saying nigga.
Oh, that's where you move.
And that's when I knew it was love.
Yeah, they should totally bring her on as his love interest.
Man.
Where can we send letters? Where can we send letters to the writing room in
Atlanta?
Is
Black Girls Talking going to start doing Zosia Rockmore, Lakeith Stanfield fanfic?
I'm willing to write that pornography script if they are willing.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up.
Julie is too horny. Pull it back.
I want to thank all of you for joining me on this very special episode of the Black Girls Talking.
I wouldn't mind if you shoved that beanie in my mouth and you were waiting in the woods with Migos. I would go for that. Just if anybody wants to use that. Oh.
Okay, one, I'm still not over that Hunter Thompson-ass Migos thing. I really hope.
Honestly, the Hunter Thompson Migos thing was hot. Like, that was so cool. I was into that.
It was kind of amazing.
But I grew up in a white trash town, so that's probably why.
No, Migos is from Gwinnett, so...
But the real
Gwinnett is a white-ass suburb of Atlanta. Migos is from Gwinnett. Migos is from Gwinnett County.
Like, why did this turn into that show Outsiders all of a sudden? The one with like the White Hill people, but like they're ancient, connected to the mountain, and they have a. I'm probably the only one who's seen that show because it's on WGN and it's not.
Oh man, sometimes I forget you're a nerd. We gotta talk sometime. No hate, like, we really do gotta talk sometime about this.
Alright, we gotta go.
I'm so glad this is a safe space.
Okay, I wanna thank all you guys for joining me. This has been a great time. Atlanta is a good show.
I have dozens of pictures of Lakeith open on my computer right now. I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that.
He has a tattoo of a black power fist and a poor relationship with his father. I love him.
I'm saying, like, if a sex tape has to leak, if it has to, let it be theirs.
Everybody tell everybody where you can be found.
Right. For the people. Like, I'm just really, like, America is still recovering from, like, Paris Hilton's green screen. I think... I think that black love should be able to give something. The sacrifice.
Y'all, I'm gonna watch Dope for this man. I mean, I put it off, but I'm gonna watch it.
Was he in Dope?
Oh, yes. He's in Dope?
He was in Dope. Yes. He was the drug dealer.
And something else. The Purge, and he's also in that movie that Jordan Peele made about, like, interracial.
Oh, my God.
That devilry. I don't even want to speak that devilry onto this recording.
Why did he turn his therapy sessions into a horror film, though?
But he married a white woman, right?
Why don't you just break up with Chelsea Peretti? That's all you have to do. Like, just break up with her.
I'm like, what kind of... No, and that's the thing. I don't even think that it's her. Because remember, Chelsea Peretti had a black stepmom when she was, like, 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, her whole childhood coming up was with, like, this black mom figure. And when she was at her dad's place, right?
Because I don't know. I just feel like mixed kids just need therapy, like, younger, so that they don't do shit like this when they're in their late 30s.
It is pretty embarrassing for him to be, showing out like this and putting trash on the timeline.
Having a Degrassi-ass mixed kid moment. Was that...
Maybe he needs some black friends. Maybe Drake can send him his black Canadian friend. Like, see, look at what they did for me. And with that, we're leaving. We're fucking done. I want to thank all of you guys for joining me. Sophie, Julia, Adrian, Janelle, I love you all. This has been a great episode.
We love you.
And I will
love
see
Lakeith.
You around.
Yes, I love him. Yes. That's what I want to end on. I mean, I like y'all, but I love Lakeith, so...
Fair. It's okay.
Push up. That's
all right. Everybody, say bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.